From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo says the government is pushing to reduce VAT on electric vehicle. President Joko Widodo received letters of credence from 9 ambassadors from friendly countries. Saudi and French ministers discuss increased security cooperation. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the Indonesian government has no plans to add incentive for electric vehicle again, but the government is committed to encouraging a reduction in value-added tax or VAT for electric vehicle products. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo after opening the Indonesia International Motor Show IIMS 2024 Automotive Exhibition at G Expo Kemayoran Jakarta on Thursday.
Tapi kita akan sudah mendorong
push for a reduction in VAT. I think this will encourage sales and later this will lead to production in electric vehicle factories in Indonesia. I think the direction is in that direction so that we can compete with other countries.
Electric vehicle yang ada di Indonesia. Saya kira arahnya ke sana. Agar kita nanti bisa bersaing dengan negara-negara lain.
Previously, President Joko Widodo said electric-powered vehicles are the future for the Indonesian automotive industry. This is because Indonesia has a supply of supporting raw materials such as nickel. The Indonesian International Motor Show is one of annual automotive exhibition in Indonesia. The expo takes place from February 15 to 25, 2024. President Joko Widodo received letters of credence from 9 ambassadors from friendly countries at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Thursday. It was stated by the official statement from the Presidential Secretariat Press Bureau, quoted by Antara News Agency. One of the ambassadors received by the president, the Egyptian ambassador Yasser Hassan Farak El-Shemi, said that his party will develop cooperation in the field of education because it is a backbone of relation between Indonesia and Egypt.
This year we are celebrating the 77th anniversary of our bilateral relations. I will work on intensify and materialize our bilateral relations. Education in Azhar, of course, this is the backbone of our bilateral relation. I'm willing to diversify the kind of this education for the benefit of our Indonesian friends here. I will work also for the bilateral, like investment, trade, connectivity, people to people, culture, for the benefit for the two friendly people.
The 9 ambassadors from friendly countries received by the president were the ambassadors of Belarus, Raman Ramanuski, Ambassador of Bosnia and Herzegovina Armin Limo, Mauritanian Ambassador Wedadi Old Sidi Haiba, Japanese Ambassador Masaki Yasushi, Egyptian Ambassador Yasser Hassan Farak El-Shemi, Ambassador of Bangladesh Tariqul Islam, Algerian Ambassador Hassani Rabehi, Uruguayan Ambassador Cristina Gonzalez, and the Ambassador of Portugal Miguel de Mascarenhas de Calheiros Veloso. The handover of the credentials marked the start of the ambassador's official assignment to Indonesia. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi strengthened economic and protections cooperation with 9 countries whose ambassadors have just handed over letters of credence to President Joko Widodo. The 9 countries are Belarus, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Mauritania, Japan, Egypt, Bangladesh, Algeria, Uruguay, and Portugal. Retno explained that economic protections and cooperation is one of the diplomatic priorities carried out by the Indonesian government towards these 9 countries.
Terutama di bidang perdagangan, kita terus
especially in the trade sector, we continue to strive to strengthen trade agreement or are currently negotiating them. For example, with Japan, the amendment protocol for the Indonesia-Japan Economic Partnership Agreement has been completed. It just needs to be signed. Meanwhile, with Bangladesh and Belarus, we are currently negotiating for PTA and also with FTA.
Bangladesh dan Belarus kita sedang melakukan negosiasi untuk PTA dan juga dengan FTA.
Retno detailed that one of 9 countries, Indonesia's trade, experienced a surplus with 6 countries, namely Japan, Egypt, Algeria, Bangladesh, Belarus, and Portugal. For example, Indonesia's trade with Japan reached $34 billion with a surplus of $3.8 billion in January to November 2023. Palm oil exports to Portugal were also recorded to increase significantly by 77% from 2019 to 2022. Indonesia and Singapore signed a letter of intent or LOI to establish cooperation in cross-border carbon capture and storage or CCS to achieve net zero emission by 2050. Deputy for Maritime Sovereignty and Energy at the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Jody Mahardi, stated in Jakarta on Thursday that this initiative positioned Indonesia as a key player in the Southeast Asian CCS landscape by introducing the cross-border environmental cooperation model. Mahardi remarked that by cooperating with Singapore, Indonesia demonstrates its commitment to leading environmental responsibility in the Southeast Asian region. He believes that this cooperation also reflects Indonesia's proactive approach to utilizing innovative technology for sustainable growth. Deputy Secretary Industry for the Singaporean Ministry of Trade and Industry, Keith Tan, stated that the cross-border CCS is an emerging solution in ASEAN. The 2 countries in the LOI also highlight the potential of CCS to support sustainable industrial activities and create new economic opportunities. Indonesia's Industry Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita has said that the manufacturing industry still accounts for the highest share of national exports. This, according to the minister, reflected in the industry contribution to the national economy in 2023, which reached $186.98 billion, or 72.24% of the total exports. Kartasasmita said in a written statement received in Jakarta on Thursday that Indonesia's industry remained aggressive in expanding its export market. This shows that Indonesia's manufacturing products already have competitiveness so that they are acknowledged by the world. Based on the trends charted from 2019 to 2022, the manufacturing industry has continued to experience a significant increase. Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita then underlined the need for adaptive, responsive, and collaborative strategies to achieve the target. They include efforts carried out through the National Export Improvement Task Force formed by President Joko Widodo in 2023. Let's move on to the international news, where the Saudi Minister of Interior Prince Abdul Aziz bin Saud bin Naif and his French counterpart Gerald Darmanin discussed the expansion of security cooperation between their countries during a meeting in Riyadh on Thursday. The prince said this was in keeping with directive from King Salman and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman based on the long-standing good relationship between the 2 nations. The ministers witnessed the signing of a joint plan for several initiatives and projects designed to boost cooperation between their ministries and also discuss other topics of mutual interest. Darmanin also held talks with the Minister of Islamic Affairs, Dawah and Guidance, Abdul Latif al-Sheikh, during which he commended the kingdom for its efforts to promote the principles of moderate Islam and combat extremism and terrorism. He also expressed his admiration for the remarkable progress in the kingdom's process of transformation. Al-Sheikh said Saudi Arabia, under the guidance of its leaders, is committed to promoting the values of moderation and tolerance, denouncing extremism, and respecting all people. Germany surpassed Japan's nominal gross domestic products GDP in 2023, becoming the world's 3rd largest economy. The Japanese government announced official data on Thursday, According to economists, the Japanese economy declined to fourth place in mainly due to the yen falling 18% against the dollar over the past 2 years. Despite rising to third place, the German economy has grown very sluggishly since the pandemic and is facing a recession this year. Robert Halver, market analyst at Germany's Better Investment Bank, said the outlook is grim, with Germany's export and industrial productions declining and foreign competitions increasing. Halver also said it's important that German goods have become too expensive and face stiff competition, especially from the US. America is trying to attract everything, so Germany must find a way to respond. The debt brake mechanism needs to be loosened drastically. All available funds need to be used to make Germany a place conducive to investors again. Listener, now let's move on to commentary on Indonesian general elections get covered by foreign media.
Today's commentary is on Indonesian general election gets foreign media spotlight. The general elections to choose the president and vice president as well as members of the Indonesian legislature at home took place last Wednesday, February the 14th. Meanwhile, for overseas, it has been held in stages starting from February the 5th. The Indonesian general elections, which was followed by more than 204 million people who were included in the permanent voter list, received attention from several foreign media. British media, BBC, specifically reported on the implementation of the elections directly or real-time, starting from what took place in the easternmost region of Indonesia, Papua, to the flooding at polling station in Central Jawa. The Guardians, a well-known print media which is also based in England, presents facts about the elections in Indonesia. This newspaper not only conveys the background of the three presidential candidates, but also discusses the Indonesian elections, which is assessed by the International Foundation for Electoral Systems as the largest election scale with quite heavy logistical challenges involving various types of vehicles to distribute ballots to more than 820,000 polling stations throughout the archipelago. Meanwhile, the largest news media in the Middle East, Al Jazeera, also reported directly on developments in the voting process in Indonesia, starting from expert analysis on democracy in Indonesia, voters' hopes for the elected president to polling stations that have unique and attractive decorations. Japanese media NHK World specifically displayed the faces of the three presidential candidates on the top page of its news website. NHK World reports that the focus of the elections in Indonesia is to continue President Joko Widodo's policy or the reform. Furthermore, Channel News Asia CNA also made the Indonesian election one of the main focuses of its reporting. CNA highlighted the fact that Indonesia, as the third largest democracy in the world, for the first time in 15 years, held presidential and vice presidential elections with three candidates. On the other hand, AP journalists covered the voting process in Hong Kong, citing the large number of Indonesian citizens in Hong Kong. They wanted to see the interests of Indonesian citizens who are abroad, especially in Hong Kong, in participating in the 2024 elections. The large amount of foreign media attention to the holding of the Indonesian 2024 election shows that the process of changing leadership in the country is very important not only for the Indonesian people but also the international world. Who will be elected president and vice president of Indonesia for the next 5 years still has to wait until the vote counting process by the General Election Commission is complete. What is certain, whoever the winner are, they certainly are expected to be able to lead the Indonesian nation and state toward a better direction. That was commentary today.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll begin today in history with February 16, 1946, when the right of veto at the UN Security Council first used. The veto power in the UN Security Council was first used by the Soviet Union on February 16, 1946, to oppose proposals for the withdrawal of foreign troops from Syria and Lebanon. The veto rights of the UN Security Council was initially owned by five countries, namely the United States, the Soviet Union, Britain, France, and the Republic of China or Taiwan. The veto rights were given to these five countries because they were considered the winners of the Second World War. In 1971, the veto power of the Republic of China was transferred to the People's Republic of China as UN recognition of mainland China shifted and the One China principle was adopted by both countries. In 1991, with the dissolution of the Soviet Union, the veto power was transferred to Russia. Let's move in on to February 16, 1983, where major bushfires in two Australian states occurred. The Australian bushfires occurred in the Australian states of Victoria and South Australia on February 16, 1983. Within 12 hours, more than 180 fires occurred. Exacerbated by hot winds of up to 110 kilometers an hour, the fire caused more than 3,700 buildings to be destroyed and hundreds of thousands of livestock to die in the two states. 75 people died as a result of the fire, 47 each in Victoria and 28 in South Australia. This fire was the deadliest in Australia until the bushfires in Victoria in 2009, which killed 173 people. I'll end today in history with February 16, 2005, when the Kyoto Protocol comes into force. The Kyoto Protocol is an amendment to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, an international agreement on global warming. Countries that ratify this protocol are committed to reducing emissions and emitting carbon dioxide and five other greenhouse gases. This agreement came into force on February 16, 2005. To date, 181 countries plus the European Union have ratified the Kyoto Protocol. If successfully implemented, the Kyoto Protocol is predicted to reduce global weather averages by between 0.02 degrees Celsius and 0.28 degrees Celsius by 2050.
Say something, I'm giving up on you. I'll be the one if you want me to. Anywhere I would have followed you. Something I'm giving up on you. swallow my pride. You're the one that I love, and I'm saying goodbye. Say something, I'm giving up on you. And I'm sorry that I couldn't get to you. And anywhere I would have followed you. Oh, oh, oh. Say something, I'm giving up on you. Say something, I'm giving up. Say something.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
In today's Indonesian Wonder, President Joko Widodo opens IIMS 2024. President Joko Widodo says that electric vehicles are the future of automobiles in Indonesia because Indonesia has nickel and other raw materials. He made the remark when opening the Indonesia International Motor Show 2024 in Jakarta on Thursday. Although the government is yet to give more incentive for electric vehicles, the head of state said that the government had given some incentives to boost EV production in the country. These incentives include reduction of added value tax. With this, President Joko Widodo expects the Indonesian EV industry to compete with other countries, especially when Indonesia has the potential and strength to develop EV batteries. Furthermore, the president remarked that the incentive is given to all EV producers, including the electric public transportation. All are encouraged to do the production in Indonesia. The president also wished for all branded EV to be produced in Indonesia, because as stated before, Indonesia has the power in EV batteries. On a related note, the Indonesia International Motor Show 2024 is held from 15 until 25th of February 2024. This year's theme was IIMS Infinite Live, with various world automobile brands. And that's My Indonesia.
We'll find.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
In today's Indonesian Wonder, the exciting event at the Indonesian Museums in February. Listener, for those of you who like to travel to museums, during February 2024, several exciting events are being held at the Indonesian Museums. The first is the God Bless 50 Years Masterpiece Collection exhibition at the National Gallery of Indonesia in Central Jakarta. It is to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Indonesian music band God Bless. The exhibition, which runs from February 16th to March 1st, 2024, presents a large number of historical collection of the band, including clothes, guitars, basses, keyboards, mixers, cassettes, CDs, vinyl records, and other items that bear witness to the journey in Indonesia rock music. Listeners, the Indonesian Batik Museum in East Jakarta also presents a temporary exhibition entitled Upstream to Downstream Batik Ecosystem. This exhibition focuses on education to provide an in-depth look at the values behind the piece of batik cloth. The values are shown starting from providing raw materials to the manufacturing process, to becoming a complete work of batik used by the people. This exhibition runs until February 29, 2024. The Indonesian Batik Museums invites the public to experience an educational and interactive experience at the museum for free. Listeners, there's also an Al Banjari U19 Students Festival at the KH Hashim Asyari Indonesia Islamic Museum in Jombang, East Java. This festival was organized by Kuba Hiring in collaboration with the museum in celebration of the 8th anniversary of Kuba Hiring. This event is an opportunity for Islamic students who are interested and talented in Al Banjari Islamic art to participate in competitions at the national level. And that, Indonesian Wonder.
Nothing else I need you to do. You should know by now that I feel so good somehow inside. Ever since day one, I knew you were the one inside.
Every
time
makes my heart feel so, so fine. I'm in heaven.
Come over, baby. Just lay here with me.
Lay here with me.
You know that I'll be the first thing you see. 'Cause you're the reason I breathe easily.
Easily.
Makes
my heart feel so fine.
Every kiss, every touch makes my heart feel so fine.
I'm in heaven.
In heaven.
I'm in heaven.
I'm in heaven, baby.
I'm in heaven.
I'm in heaven.
I'm in heaven.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, today's Miscellany informs you about an Indonesian youth that got an award for cruise design. The Young Designer of the Year 2024 was given in Kitzbühel, Austria to Pradipta Rahman Hakim. Pradipta got the prestigious award in the Boat International Design and Innovation Awards 2024. With an amazing design, Pradipta even caught the eye of Fitship, a high-end ship design and industry that was the main sponsor of the awards. In the design named Bluminance, the graduate of Marine Engineering at Institute of Technology in Surabaya, East Java, focus on functionality that doesn't ignore the aesthetics. The futuristic design was represented vividly with a robust art supported by careful planning and attractive interior design. The centerpiece of this concept is a wide open relaxation area with a swimming pool at its center point. Listener, Pradipta said the competition was quite lengthy with a tight judging process by the super yacht industry. In 5 months of progressing, Pradipta actively raised the bar by learning rendering systems, interior design, and getting a mentor from the internet. Later, Pradipta was committed to contributing to the advancement in ship design both in Indonesia and the world. Well, listener, that's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Lama sudah ku menanti, banyak cinta datang dan pergi, tapi tak pernah aku senyaman ini. Mungkin dirimulah cinta sejati, tak akan ku ragu lagi. Jaga sampai ke ujung nadi, takkan ku sia-siakan lagi. Buat hidupku lebih berarti, cintamu senyaman mentari pagi, seperti pelangi selalu ku nanti.
cintamu tak akan pernah terganti selamanya di hati. Aku bahagia milikimu seutuhnya. Akan ku ragu lagi, oh, ku jaga sampai ke ujung nadi. Takkan ku sia-siakan lagi, buat hidupku lebih berarti. Cintamu senyaman mentari pagi, seperti pelangi selalu ku nanti. Cintamu tak akan pernah terganti selamanya di hati. Aku bahagia milikimu seutuhnya. Lagi buat hidupku lebih berarti.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia, only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from South Sulawesi entitled Pakarena. Pakarena means performer or dancer. This song was written by Arsyad Basir and popularized by Aulia Anas and Salma Rani. Usually, this song is sung as an accompaniment to a dance. Pakarena is inspired by South Sulawesi folklore about the inhabitants of heaven and the earth. In Makassar language, heaven is called Botinglangi, which means sky dweller, while the inhabitants of the earth are called Lino. It is said that Botinglangi and Lino live side by side until finally time separates them. Botinglangi must live in the sky and be separate from the Lino residents who still live on the earth. Before Botinglangi left, they thought the people of Lino how to live, such as animal husbandry, farming and hunting. As a form of gratitude of the people presented Pacarena dance and song, this story become the inspiration for the popular Pacarena song and dance and become part of the culture treasure of the Sulawesi people. Here is Ivan Suwadi and Putri Reski with the regional song from Sulawesi entitled Pacarena.
Indonesia.
Sering kau membuat aku ala rockers, Atik Sibi dijuluki sebagai penyanyi rock, dan ia menolak. Atik memang lebih pas kita sebut sebagai pelantun lagu-lagu pop progresif. Figur si boy, fenomena dari gaya anak muda masa kini, jadi tema lagunya kali ini.
Of Indonesia.
Soal kita, Del. Justru itu, kamu bisa jalan hubungan tanpa perasaan.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter, at VOI Indonesia, Instagram, at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.